Okay, this morning, we're going to kick off our new year with a message entitled, Delight Yourself in the Lord. So I was reading through some passages earlier, a few days ago, and this concept, delighting yourself in God, really stood out to me. And I thought that's a good thing to focus on for the new year. You know, sometimes when you think of delight, that's not a word we immediately associate in our relationship with God. But we should. And so I hope to be able to inspire us in that. So, Father, we just want to pray together. We thank you for your word that teaches us what we can experience in you and what we can expect from you. So, Father, we want to know you as a delight. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would use me and would teach everyone, and you would just, Father, work this into our hearts and into our lives, that knowing you would be a great delight to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So let's look at what the word delight means. One definition I found in the dictionary, and this is the first one on your outline, delight means to take great pleasure in something, to have joy in something. You think about it for yourself, what delights you? What do you enjoy in life? You just think of like that feeling that you have, and then realize God wants us to have that with him. For example, my grandchildren are a delight to me. So when David and Betsy's kids come over, we're so glad they live in Boston. It's not like Ingrid has to say, oh, Dave, the grandkids are here again. I'm like, oh, no, I got to go down and say hi. No, it's like, great, you know, drop what I'm doing, go down, give them a hug. I just enjoy them. It's really a joy to me. I like being with them. I like buying them things I know they'll like. So delight is just something that flows naturally. So my second point is it's not a duty. It's not something that takes effort. It comes because there's that joy there. People delight in lots of things. And Boston's a big sports city. People get excited about sports. Some people really enjoy music. You know, listening to music, it stirs them or inspires them or refreshes them. We have art museums in Boston. Some people looking at art and seeing the beauty that people can create is a joy to them. Some people enjoy the outdoors, God's creation. And we delight in whatever, biking, hiking, just Ingrid likes to sit at the beach in the sun, in the sunshine, hear the waves roll in. Those are things we take pleasure in. Most of us as Americans enjoy eating. I get an amen for that? Yeah, you know. In our Alpha this past fall, Imodi Virasinghe made everybody in Alpha laugh because even though she's thin, she really loves eating. And so we would do icebreaker questions and someone would talk about, like, what's your favorite food? And Imodi would be so animated and she gets so excited about different foods that everybody else was laughing at her. My wife, this is a fresh example. My wife, Ingrid, makes a homemade chocolate icing. And it's really good. And Peter had a birthday in December. So the grandkids were over and I come into the kitchen and Ayana and Nathan are like eagerly licking the icing bowl. And as I walk in, Ayana looks up, she goes, Grandpa, Grandma said we could eat what's left and we can't stop eating it. I think it's safe to say that they delighted in the chocolate icing. It's just, wow, it's so good. Well, no, let's purpose this year to know God as something so good we can't get enough of him. That Jesus is real to us, that his life, his joy, his healing, that's something that enlivens us as a people. So number three, God and our relationship with him are supposed to delight us. So that's a good thing. But let's be honest. How many of you, when you hear delight yourself in the Lord, your initial reaction isn't one of joy? It might be, oh boy, you know, I need to love God more. I'm not doing enough. I mean, it kind of feels like a burden. But as I said before, that's the exact opposite of what it's supposed to be. So how can we come into this delight of the Lord? Like Ayana didn't say, okay, Nathan, here's the word of Grandma. enjoy the chocolate icing, okay? So by faith, we are now going to eat this icing and enjoy it. That's not what they did. They just, it happened naturally. So I want us to have a relationship with God that naturally produces joy and delight. And so I believe that's what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. He causes that to happen. So let's look at God's word. I'm going to start with Isaiah 61. And verse 10 is my starting point. And this is Isaiah speaking. And he says, I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God. So again, how can we get to that place? Well, he goes on. For he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness. What does that mean? Isaiah is excited about the reality that God has saved him. That he knows that he needed help. He needed to be rescued, and God rescued him. And so he's clothed me. That's a picture of putting beautiful clothes on you. He's arrayed me with a robe of righteousness. Paul picks up on that in the New Testament, saying we've been clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. How many of you remember earlier in Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 6, very famous passage, Isaiah has a vision of God, okay? And what does he hear all the, you know, multitudes in heaven around God saying? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Whole earth is filled with his glory. And what's Isaiah's reaction? He's like, wow, that's way cool. Yeah, praise the Lord. No, he's like undone, right? He's like, woe is me. I'm ruined. One translation says, woe is me, I'm doomed. Seeing the holiness of God, seeing the glory of God, he's like, I'm a man of what? Unclean lips. So that's indicative for us. That's instructive for us of what God wants. He goes on to say, I live among a people of unclean lips. My eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Wow. So the next point is, in order to delight in the Lord, we need to see clearly who God is and who we are. When we see ourselves in need of a Savior, and then we realize, hey, God sent a Savior. See, what happened to Isaiah? He's feeling undone. He's like, oh, my gosh, I'm like a dead man. And God, you know, sends an angel or a seraph with a coal and touches his lips and said, your sin is atoned for. Your iniquity is taken away. That's what we're meant to know through our faith in Jesus. We're meant to know, like, wow, I have sin. I'm in trouble. Wow, great joy. A Savior is born to us. That's what we just celebrated at Christmas. And God wants to take our sin away. Hallelujah. And so for Isaiah, he's like, I delight in the Lord. I'm saved. I'm good with God. It's real to him. So God wants to give us that realization and make delighting in him truly a delight, not a chore. I have a friend, John Enzer, who started a ministry we support, A Woman's Concern, for crisis pregnancy centers. And he spent years of his life in Boston counseling women who felt, you know, that they're in the most dire straits. You know, unwanted pregnancy, what do I do? They're feeling overwhelmed. Talk to the men in their lives. He talked to women after they've had abortions. He just had a wealth of counseling experience. And he wrote a book called Experiencing God's Forgiveness. And in that, he said there's two reactions that most people have to having to face the reality in their lives. It's not what Isaiah did. The first one is denial, and the second one is despair. So what's denial? Denial, your next point, is a refusal to face the facts. So we were just with friends of ours, and they were talking about how there's a Christian woman who gave several months of her life to go take care of a friend of hers who was dying of cancer, and you know, she was in her 20s. And this friend could never accept the fact that she was dying of cancer. And it made it very hard. So God bless this, you know, young sister who was mature and just really helped this woman through. But there's just denial. And so for us, there's a denial like, hey, you know, I'm okay. You know, don't tell me I'm a sinner or I'm good with God. And that's the reaction that people have. Or how about when someone close to you wants to bring up something that needs to be adjusted in your life? What's your immediate reaction? Oh, thank you so much. I needed to hear that. We want that to be our reaction, but sometimes we're kind of like, we're in denial too. Like, no, don't say that to me. But we can overcome that. Second one is despair. So it's the flip side. It's like, I'm lost. I'm a terrible person. God could never forgive me. Look at what I've done. I've done everything he says is wrong. Number six, I looked up a definition of despair is an utter loss of hope. Just a hopelessness. I can't change. This is the way I am. It's very powerful. We feel that way sometimes. We feel like we know like where we want to go or where we think God wants us to go, but we're stuck. And so it takes a work of God to kind of like lift us out of that despair. And he wants to do that. That's the good news. He wants to lift us out of that kind of feeling. So if we want to experience the delight of God, we have to be like Isaiah and see our need. Okay, we have to see our need, and we have to see that God wants to meet our need. Amen? So we need to be able to be humble. So we're going to pray this year, Lord, open our eyes. Let us see clearly. I put for our next point, God's holiness is what? Scary. It really is. Sometimes people met angels. You read in Scripture, and they meet an angel. And when they find out it's an angel, what happens? They're scared. They're terrified. There's one passage where I think it was Samuel's parents said, like, how are we still alive? Like, we've seen, like, God's angel, and like, we're alive. And they said, no, God doesn't want to kill us. You know, he gave us this good news. We're going to have a son. But it's that scary. His love and kindness are wonderful. And so there's sort of these extremes in God. But that's reality. And so when we come into the wonderfulness of his salvation, Jesus is a delight to us. So let's look at Isaiah 61. Let's go back previous to verse 10 and read what God says. The Spirit, starting in verse 1, I'm reading from the NIV. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. I'm going to stop right there. This passage is the passage that Jesus selected when he was in a synagogue in Galilee, and actually it was his hometown. And he said, this day, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. This is a messianic scripture, and Jesus is saying, I'm the fulfillment of this. And they took offense of him. What did they try and do? Who remembers? They wanted to throw him off a cliff, okay? But this is, Jesus is saying, God has sent me to do what? Preach what kind of news? Good news, all right? That's the fill-in. He's sent by the Father to preach good news. He's anointed me or empowered me with the Holy Spirit to bring it to pass. So if there's anyone brokenhearted, Jesus says, I want to heal you. Are you captive? Do you have an addiction? I want to free you. Are you a prisoner in darkness? Sometimes we feel like we're walking in the dark. Jesus said, I want to open you, open those doors of the prison, bring you into the light. I'll release you. I love how it says, he wants to comfort how many people who mourn? All who mourn. So we have a wonderful message. There are people around us who are mourning. Their life has been a disappointment. People they love have died. They need a job, whatever it is. We experience hardship ourselves. We mourn. And when we mourn, God wants to comfort us. That's what Jesus said. It's good news. So did you get number 9? God says who he wants to comfort? All who mourn. Let me go on and keep reading now. Oh, actually, one more point. When Jesus shared this passage, he read it, he left out, he stopped to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Why do you think he left out the day of vengeance of our God? Any ideas? Well, because it's a time of God's grace right now. We're living in an age of grace. We warn people that there is judgment. But right now, you have the opportunity to be forgiven, to get a new life, to be saved. And so that hour of vengeance hasn't come yet. Let's go on. Verse 3. He says, "Will comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion." Zion is where God's people live. "To bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor." That's really wonderful. So in these few verses, Jesus is telling us how God comforts us. So there's things in us, despair, mourning, you know, pain, heaviness, that God wants to remove or displace and then substitute something else. So one preacher calls this the great exchange. So if we start with the first one, a crown of beauty instead of ashes. What does ashes mean? Ashes, people, if they were in a time of mourning, they would like sit in ashes, like Job, the story of Job. So here you are, you're mourning. What does God want to give you? What's it say? A crown, beauty. Beauty for your ashes. Wow, that's beautiful. So I can give God my mourning and ashes, and he gives me beauty. We can go down mourning. I can give God my mourning, and instead of mourning, he gives me gladness, the oil of gladness. Oil in the Middle East was something that they anointed people. It refreshed them. It made them feel better. That's what God wants to do. A spirit of despair. I think probably all of us have felt despair or hopelessness at some point in our lives. So God wants you to give him your hopelessness. See, there's something that's like, God, I can't change. Whatever. No, just give that to me. And then he's going to put praise in its place. When you experience God's forgiveness, his comfort, his goodness, what's the natural thing that comes out of your mouth? Praise. We're thankful. We don't have to drum it up. It's like, yeah, thank you, Lord. So I like those two words, instead of. All right? Crown of beauty instead of ashes. So number 10, we all need what I call an instead of experience with God. With what's wrong with us gets removed. We give it to God, and he gives us good in exchange. If you go on to verse 7, it says, "Instead of their shame, my people will receive a double portion. And instead of disgrace, they will rejoice in their inheritance. So they will inherit a double portion in their land, and everlasting joy will be theirs." Wow, that sounds great. So what's that mean, double portion? That's kind of a foreign idea to us. In Hebrew culture, the firstborn son got a double portion. He got twice the inheritance of everybody else. And that was because they expected him to take responsibility for the family if anything happens to the father passes away, so now he's the leader. God is saying he wants to give you a double inheritance. You're getting a privileged status in his mind, in his eyes. That's what God wants to do for you. That's what Jesus brings us into. Is that good news? Yes, it is. So if we look at the idea of an inheritance, in Adam, what did we inherit? Sinful nature, sin in the world, darkness, pain. Okay, we put our faith in Jesus. We welcome Jesus Christ as our Savior into our life. Now what do we inherit? Forgiveness. We become children of God. We receive the inheritance of Jesus Christ into our lives. God says we're co-heirs with Jesus Christ. That's almost mind-boggling. So all the good that belongs to Christ is now yours. That's what he wants us to learn to come into. That's what we learn on our walk with God. All right, here's another example. I was just home visiting my mom. Okay, my mom's 88 years old, and she had a knee replacement. So a knee replacement is when, you know, like your ligaments and, you know, everything's worn away. It's like bone on bone, and you're really in pain. And for my mom, my poor mom the last year or so, she kind of like leaned to the left when she walked. She was always, you know, sometimes older people are like tilted. And she had a friend older than her who had a knee replacement and got a good result. So she had this knee replacement. She sounded good on the phone. When I went to see her, I was so thankful. She looked better. She's walking straight up and down. She can get around again. The pain's obviously diminished. So they replaced her whole knee joint. They cut the bones off, take out the diseased, okay, broken, so to speak, knee, and they put in an artificial knee. Wow, amazing. Modern technology. There's parts of us that are broken, diseased, not functioning. Jesus Christ wants to do a replacement surgery in your life. But that takes our cooperation. So, like Isaiah, if we can't humble ourselves and say, you know what, Lord, without you, I'm lost. Unless you change me, I'm not going to change. If we can't come to that point of saying that about specific areas of our life, we don't change. Okay? One of the reasons 12-step programs are so successful is they harp on that point. They said, you have to come to a point of saying, I'm unable to change myself. And that's one of the first steps. And they won't let people get beyond. No, until you come to that, you're not going to change. It was started by a Christian man. And he understood this principle of humility and acknowledging your need. So we're going to be humble this year, amen? And we're going to believe that God wants to do the replacement surgery in our lives. Verse 9 goes on to say, their descendants will be known among the nations. All who see them will acknowledge that they are a people the Lord has blessed. Wow. So I want our church to be that way. Are you the kind of person that people look at your life and say, wow, there's like something about this person. It's really good. God's blessed them. Even if they don't say God's blessed them, they see it. Maybe you're not there right now, but God wants to get you there. And so as a church, I want us to have this. I want us to live in the reality of Isaiah 61. This is the good news message, and we're going to exchange and have that. Instead of whatever it is, I'm going to give that to God, and I'm going to receive the good that he wants to replace it with. And we're going to help each other do that. Amen? That's what we want to be about. I mean, think of somebody that you know who is feeling down. Maybe they feel like their life's burned up. It's a pile of ashes. They're experiencing shame, disgrace. Boy, those are awful feelings. Think of a time when you felt humiliated in front of other people. It's like the worst feeling. You just want to, like, run away and hide, right? So God says, I want to replace that. Instead of that, no, you're going to get a double portion. Honor instead of humiliation. Being my son or daughter. Being a person of privilege, not a rejected, downcast person. One of the promises of Isaiah 61 in verse 4 is the people who experience God's comfort will rebuild ancient ruins, restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. I think of that. I think of Boston that way. Now, Boston was started as a city set on a hill. If you even go to Beacon Hill, there's a monument, and it celebrates the 300th anniversary of the city of Boston, 1630 to 1930. And they have a quote from George Winthrop about being a city set on a hill. Okay? That was God's original intention for the city. Well, now, instead of being a light, Boston promotes all kinds of darkness. So we want to see our city renewed, right? We want to see God do something great here. So in order for that to happen, I put your next point, you cannot renew ruined cities until God has first renewed you. Do you believe that? So we have to experience the good news, and that empowers us to share the good news with other people. So we're going to do that as a church. Okay, my last point, we're looking at, delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Wow. I don't have time to discuss that. So next week, I'll get into the second half of that verse. But I want to close with another psalm. This is Psalm 147, verse 11. It says this, "The Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love." Do you hear what that's saying? The Lord delights in those who fear him. So the first part of coming into a delighting in God is to have that instead of exchange experience. But the second thing is to realize God already delights in you. What a marvelous thought. Let's read on in Isaiah 62. I'm going to start in verse 2. It says, "The nations will see your righteousness, all kings your glory. You will be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will bestow. You will be a crown of splendor in the Lord's hand, a royal diadem in the hand of your God. No longer will they call you deserted or forsaken, or name your land desolate, but you will be called, my delight is in her." And your land married. For the Lord will take delight in you, and your land will be married. As a young man marries a maiden, so will your sons marry you. As a bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so will your God rejoice over you. That's lovely. So we can all understand that. How many of you have been in a wedding ceremony in the past year or two? It's always a time of joy, right? And part of the joy is, you see the bridegroom up there, and the bride comes in from the back, beautiful, and it's coming down, and you see that love in the man that he has for this woman who's becoming his wife, and the joy in that. I can remember after my wedding, a couple weeks later, we were at like one of our small group Bible studies, and one of the sisters who's older than me, who's married, she was teasing me, she goes, "I saw you, Dave. You were tearing up when Ingrid was coming down the aisle." What could I say? Well, I was. God is using, I'm not, trying to say this to make you feel good. God himself is using this exact language to say, "This is my heart towards you." Let's look at it from the flip side. What's one of the worst feelings that you can have? One of the worst feelings you can have is you fall in love with somebody, you get a crush on them, and they don't feel that way about you, right? Probably everybody's experienced that at some point in their life. Unrequited love. So it's painful, all right? But I'm saying that because the imagery here is that God's the one who's fallen in love with somebody. God's saying, "I'm falling in love with Pat and Becky and Sue Ellen and Brian and Misha, and Bo." It's like, "I've fallen in love with you. Now it's your turn. You get to reciprocate. It's up to us." So I'm really praying that God would move our hearts. This is wonderful. So you got that point. God says he already delights in you, and as a bridegroom rejoices over his bride is how God feels about you. And so if you're looking for something to pray about for the new year or this week, here's a great focus. Is God a delight to you? So let's purpose to believe that he can be. Amen? Let's pray, Lord, show me the truth of this. I want us to delight in our salvation. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to make this real for us. So if we could get the worship team back up. We have a practical example of this that I've shared before. Mark Hoffman was a young man. He fell in love with Elizabeth Hodge from the Hodge family. And he was not a believer. And so she was very straightforward with him, saying, you know, my faith in Jesus is of first importance to me. And he had no kind of religious background. He said, look, I'll come to your church. And he did. And for over a year or more, he lives about an hour north of Boston. He would drive down. He came an hour and a half early to help set up. And then he'd run the soundboard. All right? So he's already gotten up 2.5 hours earlier than most of us on Sunday morning. Then after the service, he would help take everything down, put it away. One time we had a 20s lunch, and he came over, and I was asking him, I said, Mark, do you ever get tired of, like, getting up so early? You drive an hour, you know, you're here. And I said, does that ever, like, weigh on you? He goes, oh, not at all, Dave. He goes, because I get to be with her. And we all just laughed. It was beautiful. And I thought of that scripture where, you know, Jacob worked 7 years for Rachel. It just seemed like a few days. I thought, you know, I shouldn't have let him off with just 1 year doing the soundboard. We should have done 6 more, right, Pat? You know, just like before letting him go to Fenway, we should have done the whole 7 years. But God wants us to sense that. His Holy Spirit wants to write that on our hearts. That's his heart towards you and me. So, Father, we thank you. We praise you, Lord. This is good news. And Father, we need your help. We don't naturally think that you really delight in us that much. Father, I pray for those of us who are very aware of their sin, of things that are wrong in them, that you would make them more aware of how you want to forgive them, how you want to replace what's wrong with them with what's right in Jesus. Father, for those of us who are struggling with, we're being proud. We don't want to admit our need. We don't want to admit how bad off we are. Father, I pray for those of us who are struggling with that you would convince us that being humble is the right way to go, and to just surrender and to stop fighting, stop justifying ourselves. Lord, give us that instead of experience. Beauty for ashes. The oil of gladness for mourning. Praise for hopelessness. Father, bless everybody who's here today, who's hearing these words. Let them talk to you and connect with you. In Jesus' name. So just take a minute to talk to the Lord. And then we're going to sing a worship song together. Father God, I thank you that you delight in the people who fear you. You delight in everyone who's put their faith in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And I pray that you would write that on our hearts this morning. Let's actually stand and sing this song, You're Beautiful Beyond Description.